second. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, may I add my Happy New Year greetings to you all this morning. I think January the 1st, Sunday, it's a good start to a year for a Christian to actually be in church on New Year's morning. I drove in actually from a long way away this morning and everyone was in bed. So it's very good to see you here and thank you for coming. The new year is a time of reflection, isn't it? And I think we've heard this morning Mike reflecting on what's gone on in the last year and what happened to the church a year ago. And we do have here also Psalm 90, which is the only prayer of Moses. It's described the prayer of Moses, the man of God. And it is, I think, a prayer of reflection. Moses looks back and he looks at his present and he looks to the future. So I think it's quite a good sort of skeleton to handle our own prayers on. I mean, we can look back at last year, and I've heard many people say it wasn't a very good year. And if you think recovering from COVID and we're now nervous of recession, we've had this awful Ukraine war, we had the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, but we had sadly the Queen's death as well. We had three prime ministers, so it's altogether a bit of a mixed bag. I guess if you're a cricket fan, you would have had a good year, because we seem to be doing rather well. But what's coming up now in 2023? Quite frankly, we can all have our guesses, but we really don't know. All that I ever say is we're 1 year older and 1 year nearer the Lord, which is a truth for all of us. So Psalm 90, the only psalm of Moses, the man of God. One has to bear in mind that Moses was wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. The first five books of the Bible are attributed to Moses. It's generally regarded that it was during these 40 years, if you think 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, what are you doing every day? And we know that God was speaking to Moses. He was the intermediary between God and the children of Israel. He was giving them the law. And so he was communing with God. And this is where it's reckoned he wrote the Pentateuch, the five books that start the Bible. And I think you need to connect Psalm 90 with the beginning of Genesis. Genesis 1:1-3. Because it reflects very much back to the fall of man. So as we straddle this new year, as I say, we're another year older, hopefully not, as the song says, deeper in debt, but let's open our thoughts and our minds and our hearts to this prayer. And I've split it up into four pieces. Verses 1 and 2, the dwelling place of man, as we've heard this morning. 3 to 11, the plight of man. And then 12 to 17 is the prayer of man. And then beyond that is the answer of God. So just to begin with, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. It is, in a way, an obvious truth that every human being's dwelling place is actually in their Creator. I had an intern in Parliament, and he was a Christian, from Cambridge. He had done very well, and I thought I'd give him a little test before he came to work, just to see how he'd get on. So I said, could you write me a 600-word speech on the title, If There Is Nothing, How Come There Is Something? And he sort of swallowed deeply and went away. And actually, he came back with a very good speech, which ended up basically saying the question was wrong. You can't say if there is nothing. There has to be something. You can't have nothing out of you can't have something out of nothing. So there has to be something, and the question should be, what is that something? And I think that's what every human being, we are all created. We have our dwelling place in our Creator, and we as Christians dwell in the arms of the Lord God Almighty. It's interesting that I was hearing about Werner Heisenberg, who is the father of quantum physics. And he wrote, the first gulp from the glass of natural sciences will turn you into an atheist. But at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you. And he's the father of quantum physics. So we all have a creator. The universe has been made. We have a sustainer. We have our God. This is our rightful dwelling place for all of humanity. That's where we find rest in Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. So dwelling in him means our natural state should be praising him, thanking him, being led by him, loving him, walking with him, enjoying him, as the Westminster Confession says. The chief aim of man should be to know God and enjoy him forever. He is mankind's dwelling place. However, there's a but. And the but goes back to where I was saying earlier, to Genesis 3. Humanity's back is turned against God. He created us, he gave us freedom. We have the freedom to go our own way, and that's what he gave us in the garden. If you eat of the apple of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. And of course, our rebellious spirit, that ingrained belief that we can do better than God himself, that's what we did. And so what happened? We were excluded. We were excluded out of my presence, God said. It's very important for us here, and I think particularly with Psalm 90, and particularly at this time of Christmas, to realize that in Genesis 3, we were excluded from the presence of God. Or God spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Moses, but he did not dwell with man. And so we have the plight of man, verses 3 to 11. We come from dust, we go back to dust. We're like grass in the morning, it withers in the evening. We're under the anger and the indignation of God. That's quite a powerful word. God having this indignation about us, about our rebelliousness. And our iniquities, our secret sins, are all in front of him. He sees them all. We are under his wrath. And that is actually something it says here, that we don't recognize the anger of God and the wrath of God. We don't give him the fear which is his due. I mean, John 3:36 says, for all who have Jesus have eternal life, but those who do not have Jesus, the wrath of God remains on them. And we're seeing in this list here the wrath of God. We're seeing that life is actually a struggle, isn't it? It is a struggle. If you go back to Genesis 3, we're going to have broken relationships. We're going to have thorns and thistles. We're going to have sweat and toil of our brow to put the bread on the table every day. And then at the end of it all, we decay and go back to the dust of the earth. I'm certainly in that stage at the moment. Bits start to fall off when you get to my age. So life is a struggle, and it's all because we have the knowledge of good and evil, and I don't think any of us can dispute that. It's a grim picture, and it's not really a terribly good way to start the new year, I suppose. So I often think we turned our backs on God, and the light of God, I mean, Jesus says he's the light of the world, is shining on us, but it's shining on our back, and we're walking in the darkness of our own shadow, and that's the way of humanity, walking in the darkness of our own shadow. And what the Lord wants, of course, is for us to turn, metanoia, repent and believe. So it looks here in this psalm, you read this sort of grim bit, it comes, all our days pass away under your wrath, we finish our years with a moan, our days may come to 70 years, 80 if our strength endures, the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. And what does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so then, that sounds all very grim. So what can be done when locked in this time and space? And there's nothing that we can do, really, except there is something. There is something, and what does Moses do? He prays. We can pray to God, our dwelling place. We can go to that source amid indignation. We can go to the source of wrath. We can go to where the anger is. Actually, that's the only place where we can go. And that's where Moses starts this wonderful, having descended, this wonderful journey upwards. And I think verse 12, we had it today, Agnes put Psalm 90, stringed it through her prayers beautifully. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What a prayer for Christians to start each day. Lord, can I value today? Thank you for the gift that is today. Teach us to number our days. We don't know how many days we've got. Each one is valuable. Each one is a gift. And we should treat it as such, as something precious. Don't waste it. Don't throw it away. Don't misuse it. Just teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. So I always think, if you want to start off every day of the coming year, just try and remember Psalm 90, verse 12, and try and remember to value the day ahead of you. You never know what the Lord may have in store for you. And then it goes on. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? And so you have here the prayer of God, and actually you have the answer of God, this final section here. Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. So here's Moses, and really, he's having been shown how grim life is, he's actually lifting up and saying, Lord, give us gladness, give us joy. And actually in the end he's saying, give us Christian work to do every day. We have to say, what is the answer that the Lord gives? Now we know that he was speaking to Moses. We know that he brought the children of Israel into the promised land, that all these prophecies, all his promises were fulfilled. But they were just a shadow of what was to come. And so we have the Lord's answer of what we have just been celebrating at Christmas, God with us, Emmanuel. And I'm not sure we fully appreciate, we sing it rather lightly, we think of the little baby, we think of Herod as we've been thinking about it this morning. This is the first time since Genesis 3, since the Garden of Eden, that God is with us all. He has spoken through the prophets, but he has now appeared in human form in Jesus Christ. God has relented. He has become human himself. So our Creator, that dwelling place we were talking about at the beginning, is now with us. It is a stupendous moment in history that the Creator of all that is has become a human being. And he has not now left us alone. What are Jesus' final words as he ascends to the high? I will be with you always to the end of time. And all his people, all of us in church, all believers have his Holy Spirit. We are not alone. We have our Creator, God. So we can lift our eyes. We can be joyful. We can be glad for as many difficulties we have, as Mike's been talking about this morning with the church. We have the afflictions, but fundamentally we have that joy of knowing that we are in the arms, we're in the dwelling place where we belong, we're in the arms of our Maker. So the answer of the Lord to Moses' prayer is Jesus, actually. That's finally and it's just very interesting, I think, the answer, because you could say to yourself, well, would Moses have seen this? You know, here he is praying this, and yet there's a little section in Luke at the Transfiguration, and we know the Transfiguration, where Jesus has just revealed himself to the disciples to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to be the Savior of the world. And then a little time later, he's transfigured before Peter and James and John. And he's transfigured with two figures on the top of the mountain, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. And Luke is the only one that says what they were talking about. And in Luke 9:30, it says, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Here was the good news. Here was the relenting. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to lay down his sinless body for us, for all of us who believe. And so here was Moses being enlightened. I love that moment at the top of the mountain. Elijah, here's the law and the prophets, everything being fulfilled. How? Through the cross of Christ. It's through the Lamb of God laying down his life and being raised from it. But and everyone who believes in him should not die, but have eternity. So as we come to the end of this psalm, I mean, it's just a beautiful psalm. Descends like that, but then triumphantly goes up and ends on this wonderful high. God has answered Moses' prayer in the most wonderful way that we can imagine. And he's given us a template, if you like, for our prayers. I think it's just a wonderful prayer that I would encourage each of you to have. Not just, Lord, teach me to number my days that I may have a heart of wisdom, but Lord, can I have gladness? Can I have joy? Can you give me work to do? Can you give me, it says, for my hands, but can you give me Christian work to do today? And give me joy and gladness in my heart for this valuable day. What a wonderful prayer that is. And you know what? If the Lord is the Lord, he will answer it. At the end of the day, when you go to bed, sometimes just give yourself a couple of minutes. Well, what answers did I get? I used to say, Lord, what adventures are we going to have together today? Just at the end of a day, well, what adventures have we had? Well, I had that funny conversation with that chap, you know, but actually it was quite a good one. And then you're on the lookout, you're walking with the Lord, you're enjoying the Lord. He's lifting you up out of the toil and the trouble. Okay, so Psalm 90 is just a wonderful, it's the only prayer, it's the only psalm of Moses. It's valuable. Look at it, use it, be encouraged by it, inspired by it during this coming year. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's a lamp to our feet. We thank you that you care for us and you love us. And I pray, Lord, for each of us here this morning that you would help us to number each day, to value each day. And I pray for each of us during this coming year, 2023, that each day you would give us your work to do. Give us gladness and joy in our hearts as we walk through the year with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.